This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am Tyler. You are not hearing Tim's voice because he's having a little issue with a laptop, so he's coming in from his phone. So I'll start off with you, Tim. How's it going today?
Well, if it wasn't for this laptop issue, it'd be fantastic. I'll start the new job this evening, so looking forward to that, but also looking forward to getting into today's episode. We have, but being you're playing the host role, I'm going to let you take it.
Yeah, it's going to be different for people. We'll probably have our listenership cut down at least 3/4. So it's going to be a rough week for all of us. But we also have our co-host, second, you know, coming back again. We actually brought him back. Kelly, how's it going this evening?
Doing good. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to lock up my fantasy hockey championship today, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing Crosby really rolled you into that championship.
He will never, ever be on my roster. I'd rather be in last place.
All right. And then we, Tim told you about our guest, and she was on before. She is great. It is Katie Flower. Katie, how is it going? It's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. What's it been, like 365 days or something like that?
Pretty much. I mean, we had you on to talk a little Debbie last time. And yeah, it was a fun episode. I think it was just you and me because Chris was out that day.
So that's right.
It was just one-on-one, a little Katie Tyler. It was great. I mean, now we got these two schmucks, but I guess they'll have to deal with it.
It was almost you and Katie again.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the world is just telling us just that's all it needs is a little bit of us too.
Yeah, an Atlanta Falcons fan and a New England Patriots fan just alone in a room together.
Yes, and one's got its
nothing
tail.
But the beer.
One's got its tail behind its legs, you know, cowering in the corner.
Tucked in the corner crying.
Yep. All right, but like you guys said, Katie's great with Debbie. And Katie, give us a little info about yourself.
Sure. I've been playing fantasy football since 2012, so not a long, long time. And I got into Dynasty in 2014. I got into Debbie that same year that I got into Dynasty, but it was very, very light. It was just draft one Debbie player and that's it. But I decided I liked it enough so that in 2015, I jumped into several more Debbie leagues. One of them was extremely deep. It was a 20-round Debbie after the startup draft, before the rookie draft, we had 20 rounds of Debbie players and a 30-man taxi squad. So trying to build a big board, just learning about all the players. And once I learn about the players, I like to get into more leagues because what good is the information if you're not going to use it multiple times? So I dove headfirst into Debbie. I work for Under the Helmet. We do a lot of premium podcasts as well as I write for the website. But I've gotten Chad and Tim and everybody over there into Debbie, so we've expanded our content, not just on the website, but the premium podcast strategies with startup drafts and Debbie depleted rookie drafts and everything. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I noticed that UTH is getting a little more Debbie heavy, and I'm guessing that is because of your great influence.
Yeah, like I said, I got Chad addicted, and once he got addicted, that was it. Just the content has increased quite a bit, and it's nice because before that, there's a few places to get content, but it's always nice just to have more out there.
Yep, and I honestly feel like Debbie's one of those things that, you know, PPR was kind of an upcoming thing. And now it's starting to be Superflex. And I think after Superflex, Debbie's right behind it in the next upcoming thing because, you know, being part of Dynasty, you have to be kind of some sort of crazy to be in a league like that, in a Dynasty league. So, I mean, people are just thinking of different styles of leagues. I know John Bosch of the Insanity, he thinks of leagues that, I mean, are probably way before their time. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Debbie is one of those leagues that once you get going, you get hooked. I'm in a league with you finally, and it's a Debbie IDP. And honestly, absolutely love it. I love the format. I'm a huge IDP guy. Like, I love the IDP format, and the Devi format is great. I like how you guys split it up. But yeah, it's a very fun league, and I'm glad I jumped into it, and it's awesome.
That particular league only has 3 Devi per season unless you trade, and a very shallow taxi squad. I am in, and I've never seen anybody take an IDP yet in Devi. Most of them are offensive players, but I am in one extremely deep Devi league that is IDP and best ball. So people are taking defensive ends and linebackers and safeties, et cetera, while they're still in college. It's my first experience with Devi IDP.
Wow. Yeah, that would be interesting. All right. So like we said today, we're going to go over some recent news. We're going to go over KD's Devi players, you know, kind of, you know, couple here and there at each position. And then we're going to talk about some big time freshmen coming in this year. I mean, we all know about Cam Akers and Najee Harris. So she's going to bring up some other ones, but that's going to be fun to hear about. And then, you know, then we're going to talk about, you know, top 10 Devi players overall around there. And that should be available in rookie Devi drafts. I got a couple players that we'll take out, of course, you know, Fournette. Well, he's not in there, but like, let's go Equanimeous St. Brown, you know, Cortland Sutton, the big time names that have been, you know, Nick Chubb. We'll leave those guys out because those guys were big time names way before now. Now, we're going to hit our sponsors, and I'll give that to Tim because his magical voice with the sponsors. So,
okay, our first sponsor is the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions throughout the season. It is the off season right now, so nobody's mindset of setting lineups. But go download the Sit or Start app. It'll help you with your news, keep you up to date on what's going on, and that way you have it for the start of next year, helping you set those winning lineups. Our next sponsor is Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished you could be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction which mimics NFL free agency, enabling franchise owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contract. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency, like rookie drafts, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills today with a 14-day free trial over at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see during your free trial, use our promo code HAPPY10. Go over there, check them out. 14 days completely free. If you like this site, and I guarantee you will, get 10% off your first team or league using our code HAPPY10 over Reality Sports Online. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. And then, of course, our last sponsor is MFL.com, MyFantasyLeague.com. As everyone should know, it is probably the most popular dynasty fantasy football site out there. If you're a commissioner and you are, like we'll say, John Bosch, we brought him up earlier, and you dream up some crazy, crazy league, some crazy scoring, some crazy lineup format, MFL more than likely already has that. And if they don't, easy to work with, get in touch with them, and they can probably put something together for you. So go over there, check out MFL.com, MyFantasyLeague.com.
Yep. Now we're going to get into some news. I'll mention some news and you guys kind of give your take. First news is Leonard Fournette dropped 12 pounds to show off his overall game in his pro day. Now, Katie, I'm going to go to you first. Does this help or hurt him in your eyes?
It was water weight. He was on his period during the combine. So I'm really not that concerned. I take it from someone that knows you can lose that much weight in a month and it's really not going to hurt him. The man is cut. He's elite. I'm not going to be concerned about this.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything else?
Yeah. I got something. You can see this with, especially with top-notch athletes. Fighters, boxers, they can cut weight and well wrestle. It's nothing for these guys to put on or cut weight very easily. And a guy like Fournette has access to top-notch training facilities, trainers themselves, dietitians. So I'm sure he's not just, I'm going to stop eating McDonald's or something for a week, because I'm sure that's not what he was doing beforehand. So he got with a dietitian, said, hey, this is what I want to do. I'll slim down a little bit, get a little leaner. You know, I want to show these guys I'm more of an all-around player. If they want me to be big, I can be big. I think he's just showing all the different sides that that he can present to team, and it's just making him a better option.
Yeah, and also I think he moved better in his pro day. He just looked overall better in his pro day when he lost the weight. I don't know. It was night and day in my eyes, and I just felt he was more electric with that weight loss. Of course, you know, that would happen when you lose 12 pounds, but
I wouldn't necessarily call it night and day. I mean, he was very, very successful at his combine weight. He put up some pretty good numbers. Not pretty good. He put up really, really exciting numbers for a man of his size at the combine. And then he shows that if you need me to be a little, you know, a little slimmer, I can trim down and I might be able to add a little bit to my passing chops, my in the space game, that sort of thing.
Yep.
I'm glad he showed off his receiving skills more at his pro day, but I really would have liked to have seen him run a three cone.
Yes.
If you're going to lose that weight, why not just exhibit that agility and your athleticism and run a damn three cone? I mean, please.
Yeah. And rerun the 40. I mean, you'd think at 4.51 at 240, you'd probably go 4.44, 4.45, hopefully around there. But I mean, pro day stopwatches, I would not be surprised if he was in the 4.3s, high 4.3s in a pro day, just because if you think you got that additional .04, it would have been better if I would have seen a three cone or a 40 yard dash.
Do you think the lack of a three cone shows something that obviously he and his trainers are working on those things? I'm sure he's ran when they've hand timed. He just has never got a score that he feels is something he's willing to reflect to the NFL scouts.
Personally, I would think that he's comfortable with how he plays. I think he showed really good agility in the drills, kind of moving side to side. But yeah, I mean, it's an unknown that all of us wish he would have shown. All right, our next bit of news is going to be Corey Clement. Of course, I had to bring this in. Corey Clement has a 6.713 cone with his 4.54 40. Now, other than me, does this move the needle for anybody?
No.
Buddy, this is an island you're going to be on all by yourself, I feel. I wish you luck. I hope Corey Clement can find his little rowboat and you can hop on it and save each other, but it's not.
Hey,
yeah, this doesn't do anything for me.
At least I have Wilson on this island.
Tyler, have you looked at his actual like metrics and yards per carry? I mean, I know some of it's down because he's plays in the Big Ten and it's more of a defensive conference, but 4.4 yards per carry, and that excites you?
It's the eye test. The guy looks good to me. That it's just me, maybe. He's got something, and I watched a lot of his freshman year, and he was at like 206 then. He's gained some man weight. I mean, the dude is built like a brick shit house. I mean, he's a man. And his elusiveness went down with that, but I feel like once he knows that he is a strong man, he will start running over people, and I've seen that from him. Like Tim said, I'm probably going to die on this island alone. And I mean, it is what it is. I like him, and we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll have to see.
Speaking from someone who's seen him in his underwear at at the Senior Bowl when they had the weigh-in, he is cut and he does look nice, Tyler. So I can see why you're attracted to him.
I mean, you're a lower body. You're big time into the lower body.
I am, and he does have good thighs. I will give you that. But, you know, during the practices, I mean, there was no doubt that Kareem Hunt was running circles around Corey Clement. During the game, Kareem Hunt showed better balance, better vision. And admittedly, Corey Clement himself has said that he is not that good of a pass blocker. That's something that he knows that he has to excel at to be a three down back at the next level. He was marginally right on line, right in par with Jamal Williams at the Senior Bowl. So he's nothing more than a third round rookie pick. He's a lottery ticket. He's a chance. But does the three cone change it for me? No.
Yeah, and I agree with you on the third round type player, you know, the running back lottery ticket. And honestly, if he was a second round pick, I wouldn't touch him. The reason why I like him is because he's more of a lottery pick, and he's one of my favorites as those lottery picks. I mean, I failed last year with Tyler Irvin. I fell on my face miserably with that. So it'll probably do the same. I mean, I'll Michael Thomas this completely.
If you want to take him over Danelle Pumphrey, I can't blame you there.
Yes, and also Wayne Gallman.
Yes. I'm there with you on Wayne Gallman. I agree with you 100%.
Yes, and I think we're the podcast that brings up Wayne Gallman and just how we dislike him so much. And I feel bad for him. I don't.
Now, Tyler, if by some weird chance this does work out for you, I mean, just how often are you going to have to hear about this?
Oh, you know you're never going to stop hearing about this. Ever.
He'll have a t-shirt made and y'all will have to wear it.
It's going to be a jersey.
I was the one on Quarkman Island.
Yep. And I mean, I'm still alone on the Mike Thomas Island. I mean, I don't think I'm alone, but I think everybody else is bailing ship while I'm just sitting there like, it could happen.
Someday.
Yeah. Somebody's got to save me. I mean, somebody has to. Our next bit of news is LeGarrette Blount has an offer on the table from New England. Now, Katie, you're a New England fan. Tell us, what does this do to the running backs in New England if he does sign?
It's the same thing as it ever was. If you're playing best ball, they're great to have, but you never know which one is going to be the feature back. They're all game plan specific. They all have their reasons for being on the team, but there is no bell cow back in New England. There hasn't been for a long time. Bill Belichick will get the best out of each one based on the game script. So even Blount with all of his touchdowns is just going to be watered down with the addition of Rex Burkhead. And you still have James White there. They just re-signed Brandon Bolden, who, let's face it, he's probably not even going to make the roster, but they like to have him on the practice squad as a just-in-case call-up. And you still have Deion Lewis, who is a year removed from that big injury. So I wouldn't put your game stock in any New England Patriot running back.
Yep. All right, now we'll move on to Marshawn Lynch and that big news that he has a chance to be, you know, unretired and playing with the Raiders. Now, if selling, what would you need? And if buying, what would you give? Katie, I'll start with you and then I'll go to Kelly and then Tim.
If I picked him up off waivers because of the news and I'm a rebuilding team, I'd still want an early second. I'd probably wait to sell him in season to get a little bit more. But if I'm buying, I wouldn't buy him for more than a third right now.
Okay. Kelly?
She took exactly what I was going to say. I would say, yeah, if you had him, you're trying to sell him for a second. If you have him right now, personally, my style is to wait till he hits and try to get as much as I can. I'm personally not buying. I just think Marshawn Lynch is taking too many carries, and I feel like that's just a situation that's not going to be very productive when it's all said and done.
Tim?
Yeah, if I'm like he said, if I scooped him up off the waiver wire, the news broke, then I think I'd settle in second, but you can't settle for anything less than that, because just on name cachet, once this starts, a guy has a running back in the preseason, they're going to pay up a 28 second for Marshawn Lynch, if not more. And you could always piece him together with something else and really get a player you like.
Okay. Yeah, and I completely agree with Katie. I think if I'm selling and I got him off waivers, I honestly would take a mid-second. I'm okay with that. And if I'm contending, I would maybe wait until in season and then get more. But to buy, it would take – I'd probably buy him for a third, like Katie said. So, yeah, I'm with you. All right, now we'll move right on to our Devy, the big section that everybody's waiting for, the episode I have been waiting for. Now – the first thing is we're going to let Katie give her Devy players at each position that she's got her eye on. And we're going to start off at quarterback. But Katie, you have a philosophy about Devy quarterbacks. And I'll let you give that. And then my question is, how does it go in Superflex or two quarterback?
Sure. The hit rate is very big in Devy. And you have to factor it in based on not just how far out they are, but just the overall hit rate in general. If you look at the quarterbacks that have been taken in the NFL for the last 20 years, you're talking about 12 quarterbacks per year on average. And of those, only two quarterbacks end up being a starter for three seasons or more. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the first rounders. It could be somebody like a Dak Prescott that was taken in the third or fourth round and ends up latching on to the perfect situation and then becomes the starter and remains the starter. But the fact is, just to become an NFL starting quarterback is tough. And with all of the quarterbacks on the college landscape, to try to predict which guys are going to be the one or two that season that will go on to become an NFL starter. And that's what you're looking for in Devy. You're looking for a starting quarterback. And since the hit rate is so low, my philosophy is why waste your capital? Why waste Devy picks on quarterbacks with such a low percentage? Trade for them, hit on the running backs, hit on the wide receivers, and then trade for the quarterbacks, or get your quarterbacks in the startup. More importantly, get your depth at quarterback, because the quarterback has the longest career. So if you get a guy like a Jameis Winston that will now be your quarterback for the next 15 years, and then you pick up a few others, even guys in mid-career like a Ryan Tannehill or an Andy Dalton, somebody that still has a good 10 years left, even if they only have 6 years left, that's a lot of time to be able to trade for a quarterback. And hitting on the running backs and wide receivers that are the highest hit rate and having a plethora at each of those positions and then trading for the quarterback, that just makes way more sense to me. That being said, there are a few quarterbacks in Devy that I would stick my neck out if it was super flex or start two or even a triple flex. I'm in two triple flex leagues where you can start up to three quarterbacks on any given week. So you want to talk about being thin at the position. My number one Devy quarterback is Sam Darnold, USC. He's a sophomore. He's just under 20 years old. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. And one of the things that I use to gauge a potential NFL quarterback is similar to Bill Parcells' criteria. You want somebody that's going to be, for his career in college, at or higher than 60% completion rate. You want them to be a starter for 3 years minimum so that they have the experience going into the NFL rather than this year's group who, let's face it, there isn't one standout amongst all these guys. Everybody's speculating which one's going to be the guy, which one is going to be the number one pick, not necessarily one overall, but the first quarterback off the board. And a lot of them have to sit potentially for 2 to 3 years before they become viable starters, but they have that potential if they're treated right. 3 years minimum of a starter in college, 30 games minimum under their belt as a starter. This is, again, Bill Parcells' criteria, but I use it for my own Devy criteria. Touchdowns to interceptions. You want to have at least a two ratio. So 2-to-1, two touchdowns to one interception at the very minimum. And Sam Darnold's at 3.44. He's already started 10 games as a freshman. And so if he stays even through his junior year, he's going to hit that 30 game minimum that you're looking for. His wins, Bill Parcells wants at least 23 wins. Sam Darnold won 9 out of 10 games. He's got arm strength, decision-making. He's versatile. He's a leader. And he stays calm. Plus, when I say he's versatile, he's not just the kind of guy that can throw the ball into pretty much any situation and be successful with it. But he can run. He's not necessarily a scrambling-type quarterback, but he has enough juice if he needs to.
Yeah, and what I notice is his pocket presence. He's got
right.
There was one play that he was getting hit from his blind side. He rolled up in the pocket, like almost like accelerated as quick as he could in the pocket, kept his eyes down the field and hit somebody right in the end zone. It was a great play. And that's when I realized, wow, you know, this kid is something special. And I would have to agree with you in the Devy quarterback landscape. I'd probably say he is my 1A.
So are we set up for the scam for Sam next year? Our team's going to drop in game and get that number one overall pick?
I don't know if it's next year because he's just going to be – he's a sophomore this year, so he still has another year before he can even come out.
That's another thing. I see a lot of people being like, you know, suck for Sam. And it's funny because I think I and Katie are one of the two that are like, wait, he's a true freshman, so I think he's still got another year. He's a guy that's going to be 2019, I think it is.
Right, at the earliest.
Yep.
And he's just got a rebuilt wide receiver core around him. He did lose Juju Smith-Schuster and Darius Rogers, but he's got a lot of good weapons that are young that are coming up, too.
Yep, and I'm guessing we'll get to those. Any other quarterbacks you got for us?
Yeah, Luke Falk, Washington. He's stayed for his senior season, and I like the fact that he stayed in school. He's 22 years old. He's another 6'4", 225-pound quarterback, and his completion percentage is 68.8 60%. And again, Bill Parcells, the minimum criteria was 60% with 3 years minimum as a starter. He's already got 3 years as a starter. This is going into his fourth year. He's already started 29 games, and the minimum for Bill Parcells is 30. So he's right there at that benchmark. Touchdowns to interceptions, he's thrown 89 touchdowns to 26 interceptions. That's a 3.42. Wow. Yeah. So, and then as far as wins, he's got 18 logged under his belt with a 13 game season. There's no reason to think that he won't win five games this year and put him over that 23 minimum. Also, two of the criteria that I didn't mention of Bill Parcells is, did he graduate and is he a senior? That was important to Bill Parcells because if you graduate, it shows commitment. And yes, Luke Falk is going to graduate, and yes, he will be a senior. He's got decent arm strength, good pocket presence, and overall awareness, which I really like, of reading defenses and being able. He's not a super strong arm like a Josh Allen from Wyoming, but he is reliable, and I think he's going to make a decent shot at the pros.
Yeah, and he would probably be around third on mine, but you did mention my 1B, who I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Is he your other guy?
My third guy is Josh Rosen out of UCLA.
Oh, okay.
So he's a junior. He's 20 years old. Another 6'4" quarterback. He's 218 pounds. And one of the things that I've noted in my study of quarterbacks, being a 5-star rated quarterback does not mean jack crap. There's a lot of guys that have gone on to be good to great NFL quarterbacks that were not 5-star rated. So that alone should not sway you when you're trying to pick a Devy quarterback. His completion percentage is just under 60%, but I think part of that was he had an injury-prone season last year, and he didn't get to start as many games as normal. So he was at 59.7 for two seasons. He started 19 games, and again, the minimum for Bill Parcells' criteria is 30. He may not meet that threshold depending on if he's a junior this year. So if he comes out after his junior year, he could end up being right at very close to that 30 mark. His touchdown to interception, he's had 33 touchdowns to 16 interceptions, which is just over the minimum of 2.06. And then he's had 11 wins, and 23 is the threshold. So whether or not he ends up winning all 13 games next season or not, that could put him right there. He is not an overly strong arm. He's supposed to be the heir apparent. My problem with Josh Rosen is because he's the quote-unquote next Andrew Luck, he's the first guy taken in most Devy Superflex, and that's just too high of a price. I'd rather have a Sam Darnold or a Luke Falk.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd rather have a Josh Allen too.
Right, so somebody that you can get a little bit deeper. If you are going to burn some capital, just about anybody else.
Yeah, and I, like you said, I'm in a Superflex Devy League, and he went pretty high, and I think a lot of people were shocked. But I know Josh Allen is one of them. But we'll move on to running backs,
I mean, the rest of the guys, as far as I wouldn't even take a Josh Allen. I like his particular skill set, but until I see everything else put together, I'm not going to burn a Devy pick on somebody like that. If somebody else wants to, I will let them.
Okay. Now we're going to go to the running back position, and Katie, I will let you take it off. Tim and Kelly, I know you guys are a little quiet. This is a lot of Kelly Katie in this episode, but it's a Devy episode. So if you guys have anything else to put in, I would love to hear your guys' input as well.
Yeah. No, Katie is by and far the Devy expert in our little world of Dynasty podcasting. If she's getting guys like Chad and Tim Torch Devy, and she's being the bad influence, if you will, there, then by all means, I will step back and I will listen to Nina Devy pontificate on all this.
Well, yeah, thank you.
I'm just sitting here scribbling down notes. I'm just learning. I'm drinking it all in.
Yeah, that's what this episode is about for the listeners too. I mean, that is what we have Katie on here for. And I'm with Tim. I think she is just fantastic Devy advice. She is the king of the crop. whatever other puns you guys have, you know, she is. So we'll move on to running backs and take it away, Katie.
So, Tyler, you could say, like, I'm the New England Patriots of Devy people.
Okay. All right.
All right. So as far as, again, Devy is high risk. You do not know what will happen to these players. Anything could happen. Injury. They could be a knuckle puck off the field and get into criminal problems. I do watch interviews. I do follow them on Twitter or read their Twitter feed at least a little bit while I'm scouting them. And I'll go back and I'll look at spring practices. Right now, if you're in a Devy draft, just do a little research on what are they doing in spring practice. Are they already banged up? Are they injured? Are they participating in spring practice? What are their coaches saying about them? All of these things can be clues as to whether or not you should invest capital in these guys. So my top running backs, and again, this is whether or not you're doing a startup and they're not taken yet. Saquon Barkley, number one running back out of Penn State. He's a junior and he is just an unbelievable man. He is very similar in body type to Darius Geis, who's my number two. They're both 5'11", 222 pounds. The nice thing, what I like about Devy running backs, I want a guy that's already got his man weight, that's already got his NFL size and potentially NFL speed. I don't want to take a guy that is 195 pounds and hope that they can gain 25 pounds before the end of their college career and before they get to the NFL combine and hope that they don't slow down or that it affects their agility. I'd rather have a guy that's already that size. And to me, the minimum BMI for a running back is going to be 30. So Saquon Barkley meets that, exceeds that, and he is a phenomenal running back from all standards. And Darius Geis is more like 1B, trying to flip a coin between the two of them. I've had some Devy drafts from a year ago where I was fortunate enough to get both of them. And I'm looking forward to 2018 when they both come out. So they're very close with each other.
Yeah.
Another very good running back that has taken a little bit of a backseat to those two, but he's still, let's don't forget, a very blue chip, five-star athlete in his own right, Nick Chubb out of Georgia. He had a brutal injury at the end of his sophomore season. He tore up his knee. And so his junior year, he came back after all that rehab. The other thing I look for in Devy players is their work ethic. A guy that can overcome an injury like Mike Williams did, like Nick Chubb did, and then to be able to play. Yes, he had a down year by his standards, and he didn't have quite the same juice, but a year departed from that injury and coming back for his senior season. Because he's not finished. He wants to prove, he wants to beat Georgia Tech. He has a lot of competitiveness in himself that he doesn't want to just end his career in college and move on from his boys without taking care of business. So I like that also. He's very competitive.
Yep. And I want to go back to Barkley and Geis for a second.
Sure, sure.
Your comparisons are very similar, but how I see them is Barkley is just a smooth runner. He's a guy that knows how to play the running back position. It's a natural talent. Geis is very naturally talented as well, but he is more of a, he won't go down for anything. I mean, this guy, you watch tape of Geis, he breaks five tackles and how he stays up is beyond me. I mean, his balance is tremendous.
I think he's faster too. I think overall, if you were to put him side by side, I think Geis is the faster of the two, but they're both special, special guys.
Yes. These guys, we are getting spoiled in these next couple years drafts with running backs. And I was a year ago, I was looking forward to this year's rookie draft just because I'm excited to get that running back mentality back in fantasy football. It's been so wide receiver based. I missed the old school take LT1. You know, slam your computer shut, you're done, championship. Like, I love that fantasy football. The running backs, you know, the hard-nose running backs get you 12 touchdowns. But yeah, I'm excited for the running back class, and I know you've got more, so I'll let you keep going. I just want to put my
sure
comparisons of the two, but both of them, I mean, like you said, either one, if you get one, you're going to come away happy.
And I don't think that you'll be disappointed if you end up with Nick Chubb either. That's the point. There are three. Those are three guys that are potentially all going to come out in the 2018 draft. And we haven't even started talking wide receiver yet, but that's a lot to look forward to. And then my next guy, my number four overall running back, and he's a freshman. I'm going to take Cam Akers, yes. Number four overall. I love this guy. Number one, he's got an open depth chart. Yes, Jacques Patrick is there in front of him, but I think that Cam Akers is just so smooth. He's a convert from quarterback, so he still has a lot to learn, but he will run between the tackles and pound between the tackles, keep those legs churning, so smooth. He's got good hands as a receiver. Hopefully they'll use him, but I think that he is such a versatile type guy that he will have the opportunity for Florida State as a freshman. What do you think?
You were just talking about man weight, and he came into Florida State at 215 already.
Yeah, and he's 5'11". So again, he's got that BMI that you look for. He's not just a little baby.
No, he is a man as a freshman, and this year I think we're going to see something special with him.
I agree. And then my number five, and again, this is just based on talent, not situation, because his situation got really bad really quick, and that's Elijah Holyfield. His father was a professional boxer, so he's got the bloodline, he's got the genes. He ran track in high school, so he's very athletic. He knows how to hit the gym, and he's a physical specimen. He's also at his man weight, but as a sophomore at the University of Georgia, with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel both staying, that's going to crimp into his playing time. Additionally, they just signed DeAndre Swift, who I'll talk about when we start talking about freshmen. DeAndre Swift is a freshman coming in that, let's face it, he could give Holyfield a run for his money. So very crowded depth chart, but based on talent alone, I've got Elijah Holyfield rated as my number five running back.
Yeah, and I could see kind of a Darius Geis situation with him. You know, Geis had Fournette until his junior year, and I could see Holyfield taking the reins his junior year. So yeah, it'll be fun to see him hopefully next year. And I know I don't like to say injuries. I don't want to see injuries, but you know, if Chubb or Michelle goes down, I mean, they're not hurting.
Right. Yeah. They've got that factory just like Alabama, you know, just next man up.
Yep. Now, if anybody has anything else to say, I'll move on to receiver. Tim Kelly. All right. I got the thumbs up. So we'll move on to receivers next. And one of my favorite Devy players this year, I know it's my college team bias. I'm excited for you to talk about him, but I'll let you start off with, I'm guessing your number one isn't him. So,
okay. So I know who you're talking about because you made a major trade in one of the leagues that we're in together, which is the only league that we're in together so far. But my number one wide receiver coming out of college this year, and he could have come out this year as a redshirt sophomore and didn't. He built it all up with his Twitter. I'm going to make an announcement. I'll have a video and everything. And then he ended up staying in school. So Courtland Sutton, wide receiver out of SMU. And the cool and exciting thing is I'm moving back to Dallas. I just bought a house and I close May 10th. I move back at the end of June. I'll get to see some SMU games and get to see Courtland Sutton live this fall. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
That probably just gives it goosebumps just even saying it.
It does, because I've got a friend of mine that's a SMU alum, and so she's got season tickets, or at least the ability to get tickets at any game, anytime. I call it, and I'm there. So I'm very much looking forward to it. He's a convert. I like positional converts in Devy, guys that play defense that are now on offense. So he's got that physical football toughness, that mentality. He was a defensive back and now he's a wide receiver. He's 6'4". He's big. He's fast, got good hands, just an all around good player. And the fact that he's small school does not bother me. It's the traits, the attributes that you're scouting, and those traits translate to the next level.
Yep. And like you said, convert from defense. And another player, I'll go back to the running back quick. Keith Ballage from Arizona State. He was a middle linebacker, I think, when he came in.
Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, yep. He was a middle linebacker coming in, and he's just an ultra athlete. I mean, this guy is going to be somebody to watch this year from Arizona State. But let's go back to the receivers. I just want to mention him quick.
Sure.
No, I got a quick question for Katie.
Okay.
Let's say Courtin had the opposite announcement, you know, off of his Twitter feed and all that stuff. Where would Courtland Sutton in this rookie class, in case somebody doesn't know who Courtland Sutton is, he's your number one Devy wide receiver. Where would you put him with the likes of a Mike Williams and so on and so forth in this class? Juju, where you got him at?
I would have him neck and neck with Corey Davis. So he'd be top three in this year's rookie draft, depending on where you would end up taking Corey Davis.
I completely agree with you, and I just wanted to get that out there to let people know that maybe don't know who Courtland Sutton is. He's that good, everybody.
Yes.
Yep, and I would agree.
The number one.
If you get a chance to watch Pony Football, SMU Ponies, it's hard to watch. So pick a game where they're at least playing an opponent where maybe you're scouting somebody from the other team like TCU or whoever. But man, this kid's a beast.
Yep. And it's a good thing you clarified, because I didn't want anybody to go actually look up Pony Football. Like, Google that. Because I feel like that would kind of put them in the wrong direction a little bit.
Yeah, probably so. All right. So, yes, I'm going to acquiesce to you, Tyler, on this next one. My number two wide receiver is your dude. He's a junior out of Notre Dame, Equanimeous St. Brown. Great bloodlines in and of his own self and in his own right. The family is just a very athletic family. He is a big wide receiver, and he should be able to rule the roost this year. There's nothing in his way.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got a good quarterback coming in, you know, to take over for Kaiser. And yeah, like you said, the bloodlines. His dad was a bodybuilder. He's got two younger brothers that are, I think one committed to Stanford just because he didn't want that next up. Like, he got an offer sheet to Notre Dame, but he didn't want to be the next one.
Right.
And then they've got another younger brother who, I'm quoting Nick Whalen, said that could be even better than the other two. And his quote saying, the St. Browns could take over the wide receivers in the NFL in the next 5 years.
Well, the funny thing about that, if you think about it, the younger brother is always going to be the one that has to work harder just to get food, just to even get food. So, you know, you think about it, to get attention, to get food, to get anything. And they're always hanging out at older brother's practices, and they're going to be emulating older brother. They're going to be throwing and catching with guys that are 6-7 years older than them for years. And then they finally get their shot. So there is something to be said for the younger brother is the one that's going to have the most potential.
Yep. And I like their height difference. It's almost like a cell phone reception tower. I mean, you got Equanimeous, who's 6'5". Yep. You got the younger brother. I forgot his name. Starts with
Osiris.
Yep. He's 6'2". And then the younger brother is 5'11". Yeah. I mean, they're all going to bring something different to the NFL, and it's going to be fun to see. And going back to Equanimeous, I mean, this guy just has it all. And he is a guy who improved a ton from his freshman season to sophomore. And I just expect a lot from this guy. I mean, at 6'5", and the way he moves and is able to move, yeah, I mean, he's going to put up some huge numbers if the quarterback can get him the ball.
And that's what you look for in Devy. You look for guys that are already NFL size, that have the opportunity, because breakout age is a big part of a predictor for NFL success. And so somebody that has an opportunity earlier in their career, as opposed to later, those are the guys that you want to key on and target. So if Equanimeous St. Brown is still available in your Devy drafts, he is one of the higher rated. Going into his junior season, he's already put up a good season under his belt and just getting bigger and stronger and more aware of the football game. So certainly somebody that you want to take a look at.
Yep. And like you said, you know, he's tall. The only thing I want him to do is gain some muscle. I mean, he's a very slender guy. He's 205, 210 maybe. But when your dad's an ex-bodybuilder, I don't think it's going to be an issue putting on some muscle at all. I mean, that whole family, I looked up a bunch of history the other night, and yeah, that whole family is very athletic.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. The key word right there is athletic. I look for wide receivers that are athletic. And so my next guy, N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State, he is a big guy, but he has shown some good athleticism. He had a good season at Arizona State and can only add to it. He was already a starter as a freshman and just has nowhere to go but up. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. He's not the fastest guy. He's more in the range of a 4.6, but by the time that he gets to the combine, he may be able to run in the 4.5s. We don't know that for sure. I don't like big, slow wide receivers, but I do think that he is one of the guys that could end up a little lower than where he tested in the Nike opening.
Yep. And like you said, you don't like slow, big receivers. DeAndre Hopkins ran a 4.6, and one of my favorite players, Allen Robinson, ran a 4.6.
Yep.
But if Harry can jump 40 inches, has a 40-inch vert, there you go. I mean, that says it all. He is going to be a jump ball guy. He's going to win without the speed. And, I mean, that's okay with me.
Right. I agree. So my next one, number four, would be James Washington out of Oklahoma State. I was able to scout and peg him last year. I'm proud of this.
Yeah,
I
got you told me about him.
I got him dirt cheap in a lot of Debbie drafts last year. And then all of a sudden, he started to really come on the scene. He's got great hands. Chad and I at the Senior Bowl, we coined the phrase Kleenex hands for somebody that has really soft hands. And I would say that James Washington has Kleenex hands. He needs to do more with his route tree, but I think he's the kind of worker. His mom got him into tennis so that his hand-eye coordination and just overall athleticism would increase. He's played different sports, so he knows how to work. That's the kind of thing I look for. Again, I want guys that know how to work, because when they hit the NFL, guess what? It's their job. And if you don't have a good work ethic, you have to learn a good work ethic. The NFL is not going to cradle you as like you're a baby and walk you through every little thing. If you don't know and you are lost after a quick walkthrough, they're just going to put you at the back of the barrel and next man up. They're going to skip over you. So you've got to put a lot of your own time and effort into learning that playbook, into learning the routes, into working. And so watching videos and just being in touch with what these guys' mental state is, that's pretty key for me and Debbie. I do watch a lot of interviews. And so it's kind of a little bit crazy that my number five wide receiver is a head case to a certain extent. And I was able to pick that out of his video when I watched him last year. There was an interview with him and I was like, man, this guy is going to be a troublemaker. But sometimes troublemakers like a Joe Mixon can end up with, because they're just so gifted athletically, they can end up maturing. So I've changed my mind on this guy and I will draft him in Debbie. Tyree Cleveland out of Florida. He's a sophomore. He's a fairly good size. He's 6'2" and 196, but he's 4'3", 4'4" type speed. Ooh. So for a big guy to be fast, that is great. And Antonio Callaway is more the move the sticks type guy, but Tyree Cleveland could legitimately be a wide receiver one in the NFL. And sure enough, after watching his interviews and pegging him as a bad egg, he had the BB gun incident in the dorms and got suspended from Florida for the first couple games last year. But like I said, even with that, he's worth a shot. Every Debbie is risky. You're not going to necessarily find a squeaky clean guy, but it's a matter of how many do you have on your taxi squad and what kind of risk can you carry this guy? If you have only one or two spots, you may not want to take a chance on him.
Yep.
But he is very talented.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned the two guys you drafted in our Debbie League.
Yeah.
Harry and Cleveland. Yeah. Those are two guys you took. And yeah, I mean, your team could be very stacked at the wide receiver position because of that.
Yeah, and just going for discounts. Like last year, I was able to get in. It depends on when you have the Devy draft. Are the Devy included with your startup? If they're included in the startup, I try not to target a Devy until about round 8, which I love Devy and I love the young players as much as anybody. But I'm not going to take a Saquon Barkley as much as I love him. I'm not going to take him in round 1 of a startup. That puts every bit of that takes all the risk and it puts it on you. You have to have him hit.
Yeah, you have to have him hit hard. I mean, that's the thing. And anything can happen in Devy. Like, look at Nick Chubb.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nick Chubb, I mean, he was the hands down 101 and he had the injury. Now you could probably get him for a discount. So, yeah.
Even Deshaun Watson, he's been the number one Devy quarterback for Superflex for so long. There's question whether he's even going to be the number one quarterback off the board this year. There's question whether he's even going to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Yep. And that's the thing. And Superflex, it gets even dicier. Do you risk a quarterback? And like tight end premium, which will segue right into tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Hey.
You only have
one guy. Yeah. That's right. I don't draft, just like I don't draft quarterbacks in Devy, I really don't target tight ends. Number one, they take so long to develop once they get to the NFL. Who's going to be patient enough to carry a guy on their Devy taxi squad for 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, and then carry him on your main active roster for another 3 before they actually do anything for you in Dynasty Fantasy Football? Like, let's get realistic. Who's going to do that? It not very many people.
Yeah,
not many. The hit rate, hit rate for quarterbacks is about 6%. Hit rates for tight ends is about 12%. And if you're only in start one, even if you're in tight end premium where you have to start 2, again, running backs are about 35% hit rate. Wide receivers about 23% hit rate. Go for the positions where you can hit on more players and use them as capital to then trade for the tight ends or the quarterbacks that you need. That's just, you know, that's it in a nutshell. So
yeah.
If Chad turned me on to this guy, and he's the only guy that I've made an exception for tight end premium, Mark Andrews out of Oklahoma. He's a junior. He's 6'5", 253 pounds. He is your prototypical tight end with good hands. He's a good blocker. He's a good route runner, and he's a tough guy. And he's overcome so much in his own personal life. You know that he's a worker. He's the type of guy that will not take anything for granted, and he will work his tail off when he gets to the NFL. So Mark Andrews is the beginning and the end of my tight end Devy list.
Yeah, and if you watch Joe Mixon tape this year, you can actually tell who he is. He's a guy who's targeted in the middle of the field by Baker Mayfield, and he's a guy that's targeted often. I mean, he's a great safety blanket for him, and he makes great plays. So I'm with you on there. I think he'll be a guy to keep your eye on when he actually goes into the NFL draft, but I won't take any tight end in a Devy draft. So
there you go.
That and all the good college tight ends all came out this year.
Well, there you go. There's another. I mean, this year is loaded when it comes to, and there's always going to be one or two that slips through the cracks. Even if everybody takes the top guys that you hear of, this year you could have got David Njoku slipped through a lot of Devy cracks. Adam Shaheen, every single Devy crack there was, nobody had him on the radar. Jonnu Smith, even guys like Jordan Leggett a little bit later would still be available. Mike Roberts. There's so many tight ends that even if everybody thinks they're drafting the studs in Devy, there's going to be somebody that slips through the cracks.
Yep. And we should move on talking about, you know,
sure,
tight ends and cracks. So we should. All right. We are going to talk a little bit about the freshmen coming in. And freshmen are also another very gray area when it comes to Devy and picking them. But I feel like we've been getting spoiled a lot lately with freshmen coming in. So, Katie, what are some freshmen you've got your eye on?
I'm going to do a double, not just the freshmen coming in, but who has the best chance to become a starter as a freshman. So we can do both topics at the same time, if that's all right.
Perfect.
Cam Akers, number one. Running back, Florida State. He's got a wide open depth chart with Dalvin Cook gone. And again, yes, he has competition, but I think that he is the type of guy that can come in and fight Jacques Patrick or Patrick, however you say it, for that starting role. And if not, become the declared starter, at least a 1A, 1B to a committee where he's putting up enough numbers to show a true freshman breakout. Donovan Peoples-Jones, he is the receiver from Michigan that you were mentioning earlier. Yeah. And again, a wide open depth chart with Amara Darbo and Jehu Chesson are both gone, plus the production of Jake Butt. They still have the same quarterback in Spate. What's his first name?
I don't know the first name, I'm thinking of the
linebacker that plays for Washington that used to play for Arkansas, but sorry about that. I'm drawing a blank. But they've got the same quarterback coming back, so there's continuity there. Donovan Peoples-Jones is 17 years old. He's a very strong student. He is a great route runner already, and he's a hardworking type of guy. My number three on the list for top freshmen, and again, it's not because of the wide open depth chart. He's actually buried, but he was the number one running back until Cam Akers and Najee Harris both grew up a little bit and added some man weight. DeAndre Swift was just signed by the University of Georgia. He is buried because of Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and Elijah Holyfield. But you want to talk about a low center of gravity. You want to talk about a guy that keeps his legs churning. He is a true power back. He is 5'10" and 225 pounds.
That's
and
you want to look
at, right. You want to look at his booty and his thighs. I mean, he is a man that is put together. And so if you've got a deep Debbie draft where you can just stash him and at some point he will get a shot, that's fine. But I would not recommend taking him if you only take one or two Debbie and you've got a very, very small taxi squad. But keep him on your radar. Jamon Osbon, wide receiver, Texas A&M. He's big. He's strong. I love his feet. He's not a blazer speed-wise, but with Ricky Seals-Jones and Speedy Noyle and everybody except for Christian Kirk, he has the opportunity to be a freshman that comes on the scene. They just got Jarrett Stidham, who signed. He was going to Baylor, but with all the crap that they went on there, he transferred. So they've got a decent quarterback. They've got a couple of other quarterbacks that could fight for the job. Look for Jamon Osbon to have a splash his freshman season potentially. Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. The only reason that I have him so far down the list, I don't like tall running backs. He's 6'2". He is 228 pounds, so he's thick. He's a very typical, powerful Alabama running back, but he's also got Bo Scarborough, Damian Harris, BJ Emmons, just like a plethora of five-star athletes in front of him. So it may be not until his junior year where he actually gets to show what he can do. That's a long hold.
Yep.
Amari Rodgers, wide receiver out of Clemson. He's built like a running back. He's 5'10". He's 221 pounds. He's thick, but he's got great hands, great feet. My only question mark with him, he does have depth chart open with Artavis Scott gone and Mike Williams gone, but who's going to be the quarterback for Clemson? Who's going to throw the ball?
Yeah, and the player I was, you know, Najee Harris is interesting to me because he's ultra talented. And he is a typical Alabama running back. I wouldn't be shocked if his sophomore year is when he comes in, because
maybe
I'm not a big fan of Bo. I think Harris could take that over this coming year. And I think after those two are gone, BJ Emmons and Harris might be able to kind of split, kind of go back and forth. But yeah,
maybe
Najee Harris is interesting to me. He's another player that I would probably hold for a year. Maybe might be able to get him cheap this year. Or, you know, you don't have to
waste.
He's
not cheap, though. He's going very early in Debbie drafts. And the thing is, again, with the buried depth chart and the fact that he's already 6'2", I don't like running backs that are that tall.
Yeah.
I am very, you're picky about your draft tiers for your running backs. I'm picky. I'm a sizist.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Najee Harris. He's 6'2" at 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's 6'3 or more by the time he goes into the NFL. And my guess is he'll be around 235, 240.
Probably.
Yep. And that's why.
Just, I'll take DeAndre Swift over him.
And I agree.
Yeah. And then my last freshman that I wanted to mention, and again, Alabama is not a prolific passing offense, but this guy is from Louisville, Texas. So he already knows what it's like to be under the great lights and the scrutiny of real football. Tyrell Shavers, wide receiver out of Alabama. He's tall. He's 6'6". He's got room to bulk up. He's only 200 pounds, but he ran a 4.38 at the Nike opening in Oregon, and he's coordinated. He's not just a lanky dude that's all arms and legs and skinny.
6'6", that is a tall man.
Yes, he is a tall man, but he uses his hands and he uses his size. He's a decent route runner already, and he's got a lot to learn, like I said, and he can bulk up. But even if he bulks up and slows to a 4.4, oh my goodness, I can take that.
Yep. All right, we will go on to our kind of Devy draft, kind of your top 10 without the top Devy people in. So let's take out Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis. I don't know. Should we leave in or out St. Brown?
No, St. Brown is out. These are the guys. I'll read them off real quick. Saquon Barkley is gone already. Darius Geis is gone. Cortland Sutton, Equanimeous St. Brown, Nick Chubb, Calvin Ridley, Royce Freeman, Sony Michel, Elijah Holyfield, and James Washington. Those guys are already gone.
Okay. Now, give us an idea of what people should look at in kind of Devy slash rookie drafts.
Okay. So, again, you're going to want to get somebody that is 1 or 2 years out traditionally, because if only those guys are gone, you're a very shallow Devy league. You may not have a taxi squad. You may have to roster the guy. Even that being said, I do have 1 or 2 freshmen on this list. So the top 10 Devy with the usual suspects already gone, N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State, would be number one. He had 659 yards and 6 touchdowns as a freshman and has nobody in front of him in the depth chart. Cam Akers would be my number two. Running back, FSU. And again, it's because he has a wide open depth chart. The only reason I would take him is because he has the opportunity to win that starting job as a freshman, or at the very least be in a split type role.
I don't disagree with you on that.
For the early breakout. And again, early breakout is a big indicator of somebody that can go on to NFL success. So again, for Devy, you're looking for somebody that's going to be an RB1 or a wide receiver one or something like that. Number three, Tyree Cleveland, wide receiver out of Florida. He only had 298 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he will see an expanded role going into his sophomore season. Mike Weber, running back, Ohio State. He had 1,096 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 100 receiving yards. No Curtis Samuel anymore. He does have J.K. Dobbins as a freshman coming in, and he also has Antonio Williams as a running back to push him a little bit, but I think that he was declared the starter, and they like to run the same guy over and over again. I don't think they like committee at all. Mike Weber is the guy. Auden Tate, wide receiver, Florida State, 409 yards and 6 touchdowns as a freshman. And for Florida State, they've got continuity there. Brian Edwards, wide receiver out of South Carolina. He, too, is going to be a sophomore this year. 590 yards, 4 touchdowns as a true freshman in the SEC. That's pretty doggone good. My next would be LJ Scott, running back out of Michigan State. He's 2018 eligible. He's had 1,698 yards in 2 years with 17 touchdowns and 162 receiving yards. Versatile type back. He's, again, big and thick and already NFL man weight. Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver, Michigan, freshman. The reason I have him on this list is, again, because of his wide open opportunity in the Michigan depth chart with the quarterback coming back and the ability to be able to splash onto the scene. He is that good and should get that opportunity. Demetrius Robertson, number 9, wide receiver out of Cal. He had 767 yards and 7 touchdowns, and now there's no more Chad Hansen. And then my number 10 is actually going to be kind of split. between two running backs from Alabama, either Bo Scarborough or Damian Harris, I recommend you pick your poison. Damian Harris is a five-star athlete. He's pretty fast. He had 1,037 yards, but only two touchdowns last year as a sophomore. And Bo Scarborough had 812 yards, but he had 12 touchdowns. He's more of your touchdown boom bust type fantasy guy, whereas I think Damian Harris is the move the sticks. I think potentially he could be a better pass catcher than what they're using him for right now. But that's my top 10 if the usual suspects are already on off the board.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good to me. LJ Scott's interesting to me because he lost some weight, got a little more agile, you know, took the job. Is he more serious? So he's somebody I'm going to keep my eye on a little bit this year, but that is a great list. And this has been a great episode. It's been full of information and full of Kelly and Tim not talking. So honestly, great episode.
So I was going to say, you were worried our listenership was going to be cut at the beginning of the episode. I think we just gainers. And listen, I'll say it again. Katie is the source to go to for your Debbie information. So just kind of brought her in, threw her, you know, out there to you guys and said, hey, here it is. Soak as much up as you can. If not, grab a pencil, grab a pen, and start taking some notes, because what she just did was drop a bomb on all of us with some Debbie knowledge.
Yeah, completely. And Kelly, I'd like to hear some words from you. I feel like you're speechless.
Yeah, my mind is blown. I mean, like, the show sheet is just filled with notes. I just can't wait to get a Debbie league of my own now.
Oh, yeah, once you get started on Debbie leagues, it's contagious. You can't stop.
It's addicting, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that will do it for this episode. And we'd like to thank Katie again for coming on to the show. Katie, where can people find you and pretty much ask you all this Devi questions? I feel like you're going to get hit a lot on Twitter with all these questions now.
Oh, no problem at all. On Twitter, I'm at FF_Skyler399. And you can also find my written and premium content at underthehelmet.com.
Yep. And I am I listen to all the premium shows on UTH, and it's a great thing to have. It's a great tool to have. And next week, we will finally hear these other two voices, Tim and Kelly. We are going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of our past rookie drafts. We are going to go back and give you guys a little insight about why rookie drafts are more of a risk than people think. Why, you know, you see these 101 trades and 102 trades for superstars that are proven, you know, Sammy Watkins for 101.
I would say that almost everybody's drafts, there's going to be a little more ugly than there is,
yes,
you know, that good.
And
that's just the way it works out. It's just the percentages. Hey, a lot of the times those 101s work out. Sometimes they don't turn into what you thought they would.
Yep. And I'm excited to get into that next week. It's going to be a fun episode to laugh, cry, contemplate, you know, playing Dynasty, and it'll be a fun episode. But you have to check out DynastyHappyHour.com in between now and then. We've got rankings, updated rankings all the time. We've got articles by our great writing staff. We don't give them enough credit, so I'm going to give everyone a shout out. We got Clint Followell, who also does rankings, John Bosch, Jacob Wettner, Jordan Nutter, Michael Kimball, Brian Stein, Mark Hill, Gabe Gearing, Donnie Hamilton, Dominic P., Josh Jordan, Jim Clutch, and David Berger. I think I said that right. Yep. But yeah, we got a great writing staff, and you know, they're pushing out such great content all the time. So check out our articles. We also have our Dynasty Happy Hour Network. You can check out great podcasts there. We got the Fantasy Insanity by John Bosch, Jet Set Dynasty, FLAFFL, the Dynasty Dummies, who are joining us for our NFL Draft Live Show, which is going to be fun. We got Trophy Time, Fantasy Football Degenerates, and the Grab Bag Fantasy, all great podcasts. Check them out on DynastyHappyHour.com on our podcast section. We also have t-shirts. Check them out. We only have large and XL left. So if you're a medium or small, eat a little, gain some weight, buy a large. But you can also donate. That's very helpful. Any kind of donation is greatly appreciated, and it doesn't go unnoticed. Anything that we get goes right into the site. And you can also contact us on the site, or you can find us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. You can email us at DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us three. You can find me at DHHGunth. You can find Kelly at DynastyKellyApp. You can find Tim at TimDynastyFF. I mean, they'll probably write you more than they've talked this episode. I guarantee that.
That's for sure. I want to second what Tyler just said. We got a great writing staff, a great group of podcasts. And as he quickly kind of mentioned, you can go over and there is a contact us button on the website. You can reach out to us that way. It does come directly to us and we'll get back to you, or we'll hold it and answer for the show. But that's another great way to get in touch with us for sure.
Yep. And another huge way to help us out is to leave an iTunes review. And we actually have one to read. And it says, great Dynasty info from Dustin Church. They have great guests and brings in great Dynasty info. The banter is good and not over the top. I listen to these guys and Dynasty Nerds. Both are fantastic. I didn't hear UTH in there. So, Katie, sorry.
That's okay. Maybe they will now.
Yeah, I highly doubt they don't listen to you guys. So if they listen to us too, they've got to listen to UTH.
I was going to say, UTH has three of the best one there. You're missing out if you're not listening.
Thank you.
Did they replace Tim?
I love Tim.
Tim may be part of UTH, but he bleeds Dynasty Happy Hour. And once again, I'd like to thank Katie for coming on again. Thank you, Katie. It's been great. We'll obviously have you on again. Maybe make it a yearly thing. And any of you guys have last words? I mean, the two guys who are men of few words, do you guys actually want to say something for this episode?
Kelly, go ahead.
No, I'll just say I'm looking forward to getting the gag off, and I'll chat with you boys next week.
Yeah, he's struggling with it, but he'll get it off sooner or later.
Yeah. Don't forget that leather suit that you're wearing. Yeah, I just wanted to say this was a fantastic episode, Katie. Thank you so much for coming on. It was literally more information than I was ready for, that's for sure. So I'm gonna listen back tomorrow when this is out there. Again, if you guys aren't listening to UTH, go listen to UTH, subscribe, you know, sign up for their website, sign up for their rankings, all that good stuff over there. It's a great site, great group of hosts over there, Tim, Katie, and then of course they got their pilot over there who's been at this for years and years. So I just go over there and check all of them out.
Yep. And with that being said, until next week,
draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at DynastyKellyApp, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure to check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.